natives.com.
Moody Bon J. Atmosphere Nation. The opposite of right is left and wrong. Get in perspective. Two sides to things. Go and digest it. This goes beyond the cross on my necklace. Cause now Mission Impossible's on my checklist. Check this. Waging war on who? The predator. Seeking whom to devour. I don't wanna let him score. Big things at one. Slingshot kinda small. But the impact make a grim man hit the floor.
Bumpy Ocarimo, aye.
That's it. How can you ask a toolmaker if you're well equipped? It's like asking the outstanding to take a seat inside. Man, of course I can kill a beat. Ben fly. You're thinking cause I'm born again now, that the boy can't flow the same now. In sight like I'm seeing lights from a plane now. Clouds on my playground.
Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no.
Hello. Mulibandi, today I got bars kwatikurimandi. To all those who were like Gawe, inenenzo konda pompi mublaze. Waona anale konveka, game ukutembe nuka nonkala sega. In an Xbox generation aleka, kuimba vina ni gospel yeka yeka. Let me tell you this, I ain't apologetic. The Facebook revolution armchair critics. I wanna make swag family friendly, cause I know a young generation is listening. Mind growth is what I endorse. School cats call it a free course. Funny how I see better with my eyes closed. Down low, listen to my God and I take notes.
Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. It's like I got new eyes, like I got new eyes. And to the sky say we are the cool guys, we are the cool guys. I gotta talk about me youth them, an agenda not only for the UN. Osa yambila mutenje when building, wrong fruit so we gotta check the root then, yeah.
From the sky I see no borders, for the Gentile and for the Jew his order. Yeah, grace isn't his nonsense. Right.
Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no. Maganizo pandeke, meditation pandeke, there is liberation pandeke, think to feel it monege fino no.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name is Roger Charlie here in Okotox, sitting in for Nathan, who is working this morning. We're still going to go ahead, have an interesting time, as always, at the water cooler. So I'm expecting a very exciting discussion as well. Dr. Patrick, good morning. The discussion for the first part of our show today is centered actually on you, on your contribution, on what you and I think have done here. And each time I go back to rural Zambia, I say, Dr. Patrick, you will kill me. But I have to bring it, Dr. Patrick. I have to bring it back. One day we'll find a solution to our problem. But let me say good morning to you. How are you, Dr. Patrick?
Good morning, my brother. I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm well, Dr. Patrick. But again, I'm a man who brings a lot of problems, but you bring solutions. So, solutions. You know, yesterday, Dr. Patrick, yesterday, I was listening to this young lady. She's from Ethiopia, educated in California. Now she's taking broadband to Africa. One of the things she talked about is the lack of content, in Africa. So today's discussion, I wanted to look at news coming from rural Zambia. I went online to Google Dr. Patrick. There is like nothing. So I said to myself, if only I had listened to Dr. Patrick, that website by now could have provided thousands and thousands of pages of content from rural Zambia, Dr. Patrick.
Yes, yes. Our district one pages.
Yes, yes.
And yes. We still can do it. It's never too late.
We have to. We have to. I was thinking today, I don't know what is my base is mainly in Solwezi. Whether I can get equipment there, the internet is very good, Dr. Patrick. Using what
uh-huh.
they have, yeah, it's very good. So I'm thinking they should be aware. Because we cannot just sit and complain, oh, rural Zambia or rural Africa is not advancing or developing. When there is no news, no information, Google will only give you the information you've given it. So if there is no
yeah.
information there is absolutely nothing we can do about it.
And we can start with Sulawesi because we did a district visit. And at that time, the mayor came.
Yes.
And at that time, the mayor came on, and he opened
yeah.
his doors to the District One pager. So I think we still need to start from ground one, which is getting a expert in building a website. Once we get that,
okay.
we're off and running.
Okay. Dr. Patrick, yeah. No, a lot of things are running in my head as always, because what could happen is that once the website start, okay, funding could be a problem just in the initial stages, but once
the funding wouldn't be a problem. We just have to identify the person that can build the website. And then we can negotiate the cost. He or she will commit to us to set it up.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that could be the easy part. Dr. Patrick is setting it up now.
Yes.
Making sure it is always running. As planned, that is my worry.
Okay,
meaning you need a maintenance person. How do we find the resources to make sure that we have a 24, not necessarily 24/7, but either on the weekly basis, we have someone who is putting new content on the site.
We can identify that the maintenance. Costs will be lower because we won't be putting much in it. It won't be a newsletter. It's going to be a marketing piece.
That's true.
For each district.
That's true.
And based
yeah.
on that, the funding will come from three major sources.
Mm-hmm.
One, it'll come from the Zambia Blog radio talk show participants who are keenly
okay.
interested in, say if you came out of Swazi or Lundazi or
mm-hmm.
any province or
yeah.
district, they would be interested mm-hmm. in providing funding. Secondly, the districts themselves, they might be interested
okay.
in providing, and predominantly,
the council,
if we went to the council,
I like that idea.
Yes, and equally, mm-hmm. it would be the Zambia tourism ministry, because they would love more. They would love it to be able to market the country of Zambia.
Tourist board. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean,
so
as the
we just
a
plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pull together a plan.
Well, as you speak, a lot of things are opening up. I say, okay, you know, we can talk about education there. You've talked about the tourism itself, business opportunities, agriculture.
Not only there's another organization that would be willing, not with respect to resources, money, but with respect to man and woman power, which is the civil societies in Zambia.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I kept thinking. I say we have a gold mine, Dr. Patrick and I, and the radio, which we started a long time ago. That is the visiting of the districts where we went into districts.
Mm-hmm.
You heard, Dr. Patrick, the information which was coming there. And those recordings are still there, you know. The basis,
mm-hmm.
they are still there. What is surprising was going on the internet and not finding information from rural Zambia. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And this could be a template for other African countries, especially the neighboring countries, because if you go on the internet or you go into the various news cycles, tourist news cycles, they will most likely talk about the cities or the capitals of African countries, but
that's
nowhere
it.
Near the district.
Yes.
And when we do this in Zambia, we do the districts. I guarantee you the neighboring countries will want to do the same.
Oh, without a doubt. This, we have to make it our project or legacy, Dr. Patrick, before we vanish from this earth, in my view. If you contrast,
well, you
Dr.
know,
Patrick, go
you
ahead.
Know, Roger, if we do this correctly, it could be launched at the upcoming Zambia Blog Talk Radio conference next year.
I like it. I like that. Yeah.
So if we need a target, that would be the target.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I should ask this question because I think I know the answer. Dr. Patrick, rural America or rural Canada, as far as selling themselves to the world, how do you think they do it in the noise of Washington D.C., in the noise of New York, California, all these big places? How do they stand out to say we are here, or they are also just as? But the information at least is there. I know. If I want some small town in North Carolina, I'll find it. I don't know if you get my complaint is there.
Yes. In the United States, in the states as well as the cities within the states, we're still with braggadocio. We love showing off. So therefore, if you go to a state tourist bureau, but most likely a local city tourist bureau,
mm-hmm.
they will have so much information about their particular city. So you usually start from one area and you go down to the various local provinces or the local cities or the districts or the communities, and it's always on the webpage. So internet is very important, but what's more important than that is word of mouth. Once a visitor goes to a small community in a city or state in the United States, and they enjoy their time there, when they return, when they return to their respective homes, they're going to talk about what a wonderful time they had. And then other people will go, and that word of mouth will spread like wildfire. So similarly, when we build the District 1 pages, we have to make sure that the particular provinces or districts are in a situation in which when we begin to, or when they begin to invite visitors to the district, they're going to return home with a wonderful story. So that's
right.
The major thing. Have a wonderful website, but before launching the website, make sure that the communities are ready for welcoming tourists, which will happen once they see something go up online.
Again, when you look at a small town, I'm just picturing my small state, Delaware, where I lived forever. We had some very rural towns. Rural towns no one has ever heard of, but they still come to mind. Who is the beneficiary of information which the town, Dr. Patrick, provides? Either on the website or wherever they put that information, who is mostly the beneficiary of that information? And for, we can probably say, for what purpose?
The town.
Okay,
the inhabitants of the town are the main beneficiaries because, one, when you market that town, you're going to say, what does this town need? And the town council is going to say, well, we need a bank, we need gas stations, we need...
Oh, I like that.
Et cetera, et cetera. And once they line up what they need, then that's what we're going to gear the tourism towards. And the monies that come in is going to make sure that this community meets the inflow of tourism. So who's going to benefit? The townspeople, because there will be jobs. There will be schools.
Yeah.
Schools. There will be agriculture development. And there may even be arts and crafts, manufacturing. So the town themselves will benefit from it, especially the tourism. Because every town, wherever you go, there is something, even if you were born in a town,
without a doubt,
there's something you never knew about.
Yeah.
And that can be a promotional tool to enhance the economic livelihood of the community.
In places like Zambia. Okay, go ahead, Patrick.
So the major beneficiaries is, one, the townspeople, the community. Mm-hmm. From them, it would be the province. From the province, it would be the government.
Uh-huh.
And the government being the country Zambia. So those are the beneficiaries of it.
I like that, Dr. Patrick. The reason is sometimes governments, let's take for instance Lukulu. There is this new friend of mine on Facebook who is posting things about Lukulu, pictures, Lukulu, Dr. Patrick. I remember we dealt with that district.
Yes.
In Lukulu, probably there is no single road, if I'm not mistaken, which is paved with tarmac. And Lukulu is the area which has a lot of sand. That whole region is part of the, the Kalahari Desert, which goes way to Namibia. It is just sand. And he is complaining how there is so much bananas coming from Lukulu. There is this, but because of poor road infrastructure, they cannot get produce to the market. And from what you are saying, Dr. Patrick, I wonder how much people based in Lusaka know about some of these places. Meaning, they will be, some of the information we are going to give, Dr. Patrick, they will be just as surprised.
Yes. 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 And I think Lukulu was either one of the first or second districts we visited way back 3 years ago.
Yes. 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 How will this information, we're still talking about information, Ms. Priscilla, good morning to you. Access, Dr. Patrick, Okay, today I think with the mobile technology, a lot of people are having this, but there's still a great big number who have no access to this kind of information. What would you say we can do to make sure this information is readily available and accessible to 3/4 of the people, when only about, in a district like Solwezi, only about maybe 10% of people have cell phones? How do we make sure this information is readily available?
Well, you have to have the economy. You have the financial wherewithal in order to maintain your particular cell phone if you want to expand it for others to have cell phones. And that can easily be done, because I believe, and I've seen witness of that, that the Zambian people are the richest people there is on the African continent. You may not know it, but their resource is there. So it's just a question of mobilizing those resources and having a cause for having a particular entity or a particular operation. For example, if I live in a community that has 2 mobile phones, you have to prove to me that it's worth buying 1,000 mobile phones. And if you say, well, there'll be more jobs, and I'll show you how the jobs are going to come about, there'll be more banks, there'll be more economic opportunities, and the next day there'll be 1,000 mobile phones. So you have to have a reason and a cause for this. So
Dr. Patrick, I was thinking about it. Like I've said on this radio, I have small businesses running in Solwezi. One of the things I thought about today, as I was preparing this, is the movie place. Why don't I open it up to the farmers? Maybe to come and watch how people in Nigeria are growing cassava, how they are making millions of cassava, how the people in, I don't know, Philippines are dealing with honey, the byproduct of honey, all these things. And people are able to access the pricing of different crops on their apps in Kenya or in Uganda. They are doing all those things. So I don't think content will be a problem once we introduce the people to the information, which sometimes they think they don't need, but once it is brought to them, how is it that there's a small island, Dr. Patrick, in West Africa, where they have eradicated the malaria, completely gone from the island, and yet my people in Northwestern Province, malaria is killing them like we are not in 2018. All that information, I think, can be provided, like you have said, and 1,000 phones can easily be just like that. People can find the need to have a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and malaria definitely has to be addressed, because once the tourists hear that there is malaria, that reduces the tourism business. And we go back to what we were talking about. That should be one of the platforms of the next presidential candidacy. Removing malaria. And it has been done, so it can be done. That should be one of the main platforms.
It can be done, yes.
Yeah, that
can be. If other countries have done it.
Sure. Any person that's looking towards becoming the next president or remaining the next president, and they must put in a plan to rid the country of malaria.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And all those things, what our sites can do probably is to go under all this noise, the Lusaka noise, the politician noise, direct to the people, say, it is being done. These are the best practices, your friends. The fields, keep the grass is low. I like that. Miss Priscilla, good morning. Oh, no, this is not Priscilla. I confused. So he's going to go. I'm not even going to call him for now. He's going to shout at me, Dr. Patrick. This is my good friend, Dr. K. I know. Priscilla changed the number on me, 618 now. It is my big brother, Dr. Kalonde. Good morning, Dr. Kalonde.
Good morning, Dr. Patrick.
You see what I told you?
Good morning, my brother, Dr. Kalonde.
You see what I told you? It's me talking to me. He goes way beyond me and hits me below the belt, and he does that. That's okay. That's
you called
that,
him
okay.
A Priscilla.
That's not law. That's okay.
quite a good conversation going on, actually. Very helpful. Yeah, there is a lot of information Dr. Patrick is putting out there that is helpful to even yourself when you talk about this eradication of malaria in or this island. It's, you know, I always think about what malaria has done to the, you know, to Zambia, and as you know, a sick workforce is not a productive workforce.
It's a sick country.
And
yes,
yes, it's quite devastating. The other thing that I also heard is I just want to make some correction about Lukulu. Lukulu is a fantastic place, actually. And it's not all sand, actually. My last born young brother lives in Lukulu, and he has refused to move out. He's enjoying his life there because of type of land they have, the soil. He's doing very good in terms of when you see pictures of his gardens and his farm and whatever, it feels like he's living better than he can do in Lusaka. Yeah.
Of course.
Lukulu is a fantastic
place. Anyone can live better than living in Lusaka. That's for sure. People just don't know.
That's true.
Okay. There's something
One other thing I wanted to add.
Yes, go ahead.
What Dr. Patrick was saying about these rural towns, rural areas. What we have failed to do, more especially in our country. When you have a rural town and it's a place that is on the roadside, in America, that is how these towns survive. It's a gas station and a convenience store. Those things bring in money. People stop by and they leave money in those small towns.
That's right.
Just like that. Leave money in those small towns. We have failed to do that in most of the city, in small towns in Zambia. You are on the road, and if you put a gas station by the roadside, even by your farm, you put a gas station and a convenience store, you change that place into a rest area. People will be shopping, and they'll leave money there for that town. Those are the things that people have failed to learn.
I like that.
Or probably have not been helped in terms of how to convert those places into rest areas, stops for gas and lunch, dinner. You find people stopping and make money there. Leave money there, I mean.
Like you're saying, Dr. Kalonde, how many kilometers, say, for instance, in the United States, are you going to travel without seeing a rest area here? You refresh, you do this, a snack, you do this. And yet, from Solwezi, from Chingola to Solwezi, it is a 2.5-hour journey now that the road is complete. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. And how many trucks are passing through that area?
And don't forget the hotels and motels.
Yes. 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 So we are revisiting, like I said, the start of the show, those who didn't call in, the start of the show said I wanted to go away, as always, from Lusaka. I go to rural Zambia, get some news, and there is none. No, all these Lusaka times, all these diggers, they all are providing some kind of Lusaka-based news. Like Mr. Mwansa says, Lusaka, it's a country on its own. They have got their own way of doing things. Unfortunately, they have forgotten about other places which exist away from Lusaka, and even ourselves. We do forget that there are places away. So I'm happy to see that this morning we've talked about a bit of that, especially when it comes to malaria. How, number one, other countries have eradicated malaria. Two, we have failed. And three, the problem when you go to the hospitals today, there is not even the malaria medicines. The village I deal with in Solwezi, how kids are getting malaria like almost daily basis. They only go to school half the time, Dr. Patrick, half the time to school, half the time they are home, seated because of malaria. But Sewe, good morning.
Good morning, Roger.
Yes, yes, yes. You've heard enough. You've heard enough.
Roger, can I contribute about the malaria thing?
Go ahead, anywhere you want to throw in your punch.
Okay. First of all, you know, like you said, the thing you want, you are showing the movies and you want to start showing a documentary to inform the people what's going on in Nigeria, what's going on in Taiwan and stuff like that. I would encourage you to go ahead because, that you know, we need that.
Can you sponsor it? I'll put you on there. On the light, can you spot that? It's only 50
we'll talk of time now. It's a very... We'll talk of, you know, yeah.
Okay.
I'm here in Cape Charles, Virginia.
Yes.
And we are doing a little thing for children fish tournaments. I mean, not just for the community and stuff. So
I like
Wednesday
that.
Wednesday night when we were walking out and they were spraying for the bugs, you know, for the mosquitoes. You know, at night time, you know, they were taking it just like you guys are saying, and the reason they're doing that is of course to attract other people to come to this place, you know. That way we don't think about bugs and stuff like that. And if you read about the Cape Charles, there's one time it was going down, you know, but now if you come here, it's a very nice place to have education.
Cape Charles,
you know. So,
Cape Charles, that's what it's called.
Yeah, Cape Charles, yeah. It's a historical place. It's a very interesting place in Virginia, you know. So, you know,
that's some very serious information, let's say, where you are providing here. Why it's so hard, I don't know, even communities themselves, to say, for instance, the spraying thing can easily be found. They shouldn't be that hard to find. And then the community, they give the time together to spray the areas where they are so that mosquitoes are taken care of. I like that.
Yeah. And you guys have traveled. And now you it's amazing, you know, what you have learned and what you have seen away from home, you know. And we need to change the way we do things. If you come here and you see the way the police are taking care of the community, they're looking out for the tourists and stuff like that. It's something else. It's something else.
Yeah.
So I like the discussion and continue.
I like it too, Dr. Kalonde. Dr. Kalonde and I were talking. Was it yesterday, Dr. Kalonde? We talked about the well. Where is that thing? Let me find that proverb. Let me find that proverb, and then I bring it back. You think of water when the well is empty. You only think of water when the well is empty. So, what Ratzeways is saying is probably a lot of our experiences, our exposure here in the diaspora, how it can be very, very useful. A lot of these examples Dr. Kalonde was giving. Rest areas, whatever. These are things we see every day as we pass. Whether we put any mind to it, I don't know. I don't know. But
if you ask our brother, Rachsewe, he will tell you being a truck driver, how these truck stops and all such things, how they've transformed small rural towns.
Yes.
Just a small place. Trucks come and stop there, spend nights there. People, it is the engine of those small towns, just because of a truck stop, turns into a small engine, and the small town starts growing and build schools because of the money that is left there by truckers and by people who come and just get a cup of coffee as they continue driving along the road. You see? Those
it's
are those things that we have overlooked. You know, when they talk about employment, this is employment created by just having a coffee shop on the road and you employ 2-3 people. Just like you have said, Roger, you have small businesses whereby you've employed people doing ABCD. This is what makes American life to function, is small businesses, not huge corporations. These are things that we failed to introduce and to engineer properly back home into our economy. Those are small things that can change everything. These small gas stations, they hire 3-5 people because of shifts.
You see? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that, they have somebody, they have a coffee maker there. Tomorrow, people will stop to get coffee as they go. And they'll drop in $2. And that $2 will go into the economy of that small town. That's how towns are growing, and that's how towns are really maintaining their livelihood.
On our next segment, we are going to be talking about the opportunities, the many, many, many problems which are in Zambia. How can we look at, or not in Zambia, well, in Africa, in Zambia, How can those opportunities can be transformed into opportunities? So, Vakalonde, the small example you are giving here about the coffee maker, it is surprising how a small business, part of the thing again I talked about was this movie place where we show movies. We started making popcorns, and we are selling popcorns to the nearby area. Now they are telling me popcorns are flying like nobody's business. Within an hour, if we make like 50, they are gone. So the small coffee machine you talked about, Dr. Kalonde, it can't keep up. Now we are beginning to think of, can I order a bigger one from China? And be able to supply even to much. So these small things, what I'm trying to say, can easily, Dr. Patrick, be a big thing tomorrow. They can be a big thing. But Dr. Patrick, comment on a dry pot. I want to understand what a dry pot is. The reason I ask this person, there's a person on Facebook in Zambia who is creating a dry pot in their home district. But I didn't Google to see what a dry pot is. I just said I'll bring it on. I was lazy. Dr. Patty will explain to me or Kalonde or anyone else. What is a dry pot? Anyone to talk about the dipot for me? For the benefit of our listeners? Or we all don't you know like me? Dr. Patrick, can you throw in there? Or have I lost people? Bakalonde, can you hear me?
Sorry. Oh. I was putting on headphones.
Okay. Dr. Kalonde, is this Nathan's phone? Nathan, good morning, or is this Priscilla?
Good morning.
Yes. Okay. I don't know if you want to jump in any time. I know you are at work, so we'll do what we can.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand what a dry pot Bakalonde, or I don't know if
a dry pot is just like a hot pot. You know, when you know where you put the cuisines, and it's like a slow cooker also. Basically, it falls in the same category.
Slow cooker.
You don't know all those things.
No. slow cooker. I don't know. It is why I love Saturday morning. I learn new stuff.
You know, okay. There are those crock pots. You know what a crock pot is.
I know a crock pot.
Yeah, they are all four in one category. That's how they are.
No. We are talking about something very, very different. No.
Yeah.
No.
No, okay. Roger, why is he trying to build a dry pot?
Let him finish. Let's talk about the finish.
Okay. Let me give you the differences between the dry pot and the... Usually, in a dry pot or hot pot, they are mostly, okay, most of them are Chinese made. They are for cookers, they are for cuisine.
We're not talking about cooking. It has nothing to do with cooking. I'm talking about a dry pot as in the sea pot, but instead of
sea
the
pot,
sea,
yeah.
You have a dry pot.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking P-O-T.
No. No, I'm not talking about cooking.
P-O-R-T. Okay.
Yeah, dry pot, P-O-R-T, yes.
Okay. That's
you know, I come from, we don't use R there. We just, it's P-O-T, that's it.
I'm sorry. I come from. You are saying it so nicely, like a pot for cooking, dry pot.
Okay. Yeah. So, who has some knowledge how these things work, dry pots?
I mean, were you trying to build a dry pot first before I comment?
This is being set up in Kankoyo. Nathan knows Kankoyo better. In Mufulira, all the places, Minister Mshimba, being a member of parliament there, he's setting up a dry pot in Mufulira. It excited me. So I wanted to find out what really a dry pot is.
Right, Sebwe. Mr. Chisewo himself would know what a dry pot is. This is an intermodal port. Mr. Chisewo,
right.
As a trucker, it is a inland intermodal port. It's like a drayage area where they go and have containers, and then from there they can be moved around the city or the state. Well, that is intermodal. It is not anything that is different from, say, for instance, do you remember Zamtan?
Zamtan, yes.
On that place, that was a dry pot. If at all, they allowed other trackers to come and... Yeah, that's a dry pot.
That's the reason I ask why is he trying to do it. If it's Mr. Mshimba, maybe, you know, because Congo and I guess, I don't know if Angola will go through the copper belt and stuff like that. Maybe that's what, you know, that's the reason he wants to build a dry port in the copper belt.
Just well, like he's building one in Mufulira of all the places. I'm sure he has some plans there why they want to do a dry port. In other words, can a dry port be built in every district of the country, Vagaland?
Yes, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. Let me give you for business purposes. There are some places where building a dry port would be a waste of time and energy. But if you put a dry port in Kitwe, you put a dry port in Indola, you put a huge dry port at Kapirimposhi, you are set. So reasons that you cannot have a dry port in some certain areas. In Mufulira, then you'll be dealing with the probably just some cargo that is going to Lopra province. But how much cargo goes to Lopra province? You see? How much cargo is coming from Lopra province? So that is what a dry port is, basically a seaport where containers are supposed to be maneuvered around and the exchange of drayage, that's what it is. Vachisewe understands these terms because he's in this business. He understands what intermodal and all these exchanges of containers.
So what you are saying, looking at the dry port, is say, for instance, you are bringing cargo to Northwestern province. Instead of having one vehicle from Lusaka take for Zambezi, the other vehicle take for Munilunga, all you do is put one container to go to the dry port, and the dry port will do its distribution from Solwezi to take for to all these other places. Is that correct?
But what you are talking now here is a distribution center whereby they are going to offload the container. That is different from a dry port. A dry port is the interchange of containers. It's intermodal. You see? It's intermodal. This is a business that I worked for when I was working in L.A. But the difference is huge from a distribution center. Now, let's say, for instance, you want to put a dry port in the... like I mentioned, Kapirimposhi. You know that you're going to have Tazara bringing containers there. Containers there. Then you have truckers. Or if you want to change, there is one place in Zambia where you can do dry port. It's Kasumbalesa. Do you see how much truckers
Without a doubt, Dr. Galonde, without a doubt. Without a doubt. If I had money,
so
that is one place I would do it, like today. Yes.
Instead of those truckers waiting to be cleared to go into Congo and all such places, those truckers will leave the containers at your dry port. Then truckers from Congo will come and dredge those containers from there, taking them now into Congo. The cargo that is coming from Congo will be put on trucks.
Those are which are going back.
Africa, going back to Angola. That's how a dry port works.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I agree. And I was trying to get into you, but my connections were failing, so I had to call back in. I apologize for that. But a dry port is a stop station. Say you have a seaport with commerce coming in, and in order to get from that point to a city that's way far inland, and it would take a long time to deliver your cargo from that port, you need a midway stop. And the midway stop is similar to a seaport, but the difference is it's land. And you have the cargo, you have the transferring trucks, you have all the shipments, you have refrigeration, you have storage facilities, and you would ship your products from the longshores into the dry port, and then from the dry port to the inner city or to provinces that are without or with little water. So it's just look at it as the same thing as a longshore on a seaport, but instead of being on a seaport, it's inland. And it wouldn't be beneficial to have dry ports in every city. It's only beneficial if the distance from the seaport to the inland location is long and if there are no railroads or if there are no major facilities for airports. So that's
exactly
where you would see a dry port built.
That's very interesting because, I mean, we have places like Chirundu, Nakonde, Dr. Patrick. These are major, major transit points. And yet when you see the organization in those places, I think like we said, when we decided to pursue, I think we have decided to pursue our district web pages. That is the information I think any investor will be looking for, the opportunities which lie, especially in Nakonde. There are trucks everywhere, disorganized. People are spending 2 weeks at the border, which I'm sure, if I understand what a dry port is this morning, can help solve a lot of the problems we are talking about today. Okay, we have 6 minutes where we are going to break. Let me talk about the phone companies here in Zambia. In Zambia,
Roger.
Dr. Patrick. Yes, Dr. Patrick.
Roger, before you go on to another subject, you have a decision to be made between the district council and the major distributors, whether or not it should be a dry port or whether or not it should be a distribution center. And that would be more discussed by the individual provinces and what would be beneficial. Some cities, some provinces, some districts would require a dry port because there are no railroads or small airports. And then others who just need a distribution center because they do have railroads and airports. But that can be discussed and planned out in the future district planning of the community and what a district one pager can do to help facilitate that.
I like that, Dr. Patrick. I think we, yourself, Dr. Kalonde here, is saying is he has a lot of experience in there. Again, this goes to our Ethiopian proverb here. Here I am, Dr. Patrick. I have all the resources from Dr. Kalonde, from yourself, the experience from Batisewe, and we are not using this to the maximum. Because if you're here, we have a distribution center here in Calgary. I see it all the time. I think it's both the dry port and the distribution center, how they distribute things around. This could be major, major business points in some of the districts, in some of the towns. It could be very, very beneficial. So I don't know, we are going to form something, to create something to discuss this, and the districts or the councils which will be interested, Dr. Patrick, we are going to be approaching them to ask them if they would want to include this in their plans, develop their towns, their cities, to have either a dry port, especially places like Chirabombwe, where Dr. Kalonde talked about Kasumbalesa. The place, the vehicles are just in the road, about 20 kilometers from Kasumbalesa to Chirabombwe, the town. 20 kilometers, they are just in the road waiting to be cleared. What about if we had a nice place where they could go well organized? I think that could be very helpful. Who is going to loan us some money? Dr. Patrick, we'll find out. We'll see. If we can sit and discuss on radio and say, maybe we can find someone. But so, please find someone to, I don't know how much we are going to need. We can create some of these things.
Yeah, in fact, not to be political about what you are just saying, Roger. This is where the the government, the cities have all these concessions, and at the same time, the city would loan operational private individuals to build something because they know that this is going to bring in money, and those people are going to pay back. And then we have, if it's at a bigger scale, that's where the government guarantees comes in. The $500 million guarantee that was signed for on behalf of ZESCO, that's where those
stay away from stuff, that stuff.
No,
if you just depress us. We are pumped up to do something nice. Stay away from that stuff.
Can you listen?
I'm listening.
That's where, if you go to the government and have this proposal, the government will guarantee on behalf of your corporation or your idea with a bank that we are going to have
within
the country.
I think you have this clock on the radio is not good. Go on. Because what I was trying to think, Makalonde, is that if we had a very, very good business business plan, say for Kasumbalesa, you'll be Africa Development Bank, all these other banks other than our problems in Lusaka, we could maybe find money for that. But let's see, let's break here and come back to our show. My other watch on my cell phone is showing me 3 minutes. On the radio, it's showing me time has gone. But we're going to stop there. I'm thinking, Bakalonde, if we had a very good business plan, money can be found to do either a dry port or a distribution center in Kasumbalesa, in Chilabombo. We don't necessarily need the problems of government to come in. Yes, maybe to clear some papers here and there, but for them to do the actual work, maybe we can avoid them. Okay, so we'll drop here. When we come in, some nice news. And then we want to look at the African problems. Can they be turned around to be opportunities? Please call back. Please call back, and then we'll do the best of that. Thank you so much, everyone, for being part of the show.
Ngate mumushu ya lole ndanga ubasongwi umesho yaiko ndemona masomo kwa ikwe.